Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise controls. Modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard.
Okay, I love you.
I love you, and I'll find you after this. We'll talk. We're going to feel better.
Bye, boo. Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Oh, wait, I got to plug my headphones in like a responsible podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. Everybody has all their everything plugged
I'm
in.
I'm recording. Hi, everybody. By the way, we got to state the obvious to our listeners before we even say a word that it is Friday at 1 p.m. on the West Coast when we're recording this. So Dan, you'll have to keep your TV on and let us know if anything gets declared because we are waiting.
You're waiting for a declaration?
Well, I don't know that the declaration is going to come in the next hour and a half, but I do want Dan to have something on that he can watch to go, you guys, you're not going to believe what just happened.
I have NBC News on right here.
But we all know.
Can you fix your camera so I can see your beautiful face?
I don't want you to look at me right now.
Why?
Just kidding.
You big
goof. I'm just kidding.
You big goof.
This is far from over, though. Let's just be honest with everyone who's listening. By the time you hear this, we'll still probably, in my opinion, I don't think Donald Trump's going to freaking concede, first of all. And so,
well, no, he's already said he's not going to.
Absolutely not.
Right. So with that being said, I don't think this is going to be over until after all of the count is done, first of all, and then all of the suing and lawsuits get underway. Yeah. And then after that, when we find out what's going to stick and what's going to recount and everything like that, then it's going to be a while until we find out who's president. I'm hoping it's before freaking inauguration.
Right. Well, hold on. Dan looks like he's got something to say. Go ahead, Dan. You're so wild.
I was just going to offer that in certain states, it definitely seems like there is some sort of legal precedent to actually do a recount, like Georgia and Wisconsin. But in places like Pennsylvania and Nevada and Arizona, where the count is still happening and still active, the only ballots that have been counted so far are the ones that were received on or before election day. So, so far, all the votes counted in these states that are super battleground that people are really aggressive about, there's no legal ground to stand on for a recount or a lawsuit. So all of the lawsuits that he will try to push for those places, he already tried in Michigan and failed. All of these other states will also just like be like, you want to do a lawsuit here? You can't. So,
but isn't Wisconsin still growing though? Isn't that one still, or was it Michigan that's still growing?
What do you mean? Growing in what way? Like in, just a number of votes?
Like, yeah, in his distancing himself from, and Biden distancing himself from Trump.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it is. But it's Georgia. I mean, Georgia just has a lot of extra ballots that are hanging by the wayside, like military ballots that still haven't been counted yet. And I can't remember what happened in Wisconsin, but
not just that, but yeah. other provisional ballots haven't been counted in Georgia yet. And so we got to get into that. You know what I mean? There's something like I don't know the exact number. So please, US of A, don't quote me on this, but there's something like 6,000 provisional ballots that have been accepted and will be counted.
What's so frustrating to me is that a lot of these states said to their legislatures, this is going to be crazy. We can't count all this on the day. We need to start counting early. And Republican legislatures said no.
They were trying to suppress the vote, dude.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is, I saw someone express it so articulately on Twitter. He said, these were actually the first votes in. They just were never counted because they weren't allowed to be counted. Right. And so now that they're all being counted and people were like, stop the count. You see the people praying outside, stop the count. And it's like, well, they should have been counted for a week ago. But but because you vote, your people said no way. They've just been sitting there in boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what's going on right now. And we will have a winner. And it could be Joe Biden, and it could be Donald Trump. Right now,
what about when this fucking?
Joe
what
Biden.
About when
it's
this
more
guy's
more likely going to be Joe Biden?
There's no way it's not Biden, dude.
That's not true, Zach. That's what they were saying on Election Day, that there was no way it was going to be Biden. That's what Trump was thinking. So let's just let the
I'm just
let
telling
democracy
you that,
play its part in all of this, and let's sit back and watch. Please let the soap opera play on. Everybody's getting so excited about it, though, man. Let it play on. We all wanted this shit. This is what everybody wanted. Everybody hoped for this. Everybody hoped for this. And now it's pulling, this election is pulling at your heartstrings, and everyone's freaking out. Calm the fuck down, US of A.
Well, it'll be Tuesday by the time they hear this, so maybe there'll be all of this will be antiquated news.
Right.
But we have to all vent. How could the four of us not get together and vent? Because it's just fucking nuts.
Yo, Biden's security better be beefy, dog.
Oh, it already is.
It better
they're
be
already sending
beefy
more security
as fuck.
Do you know?
Cleared airspace over his house. More Secret Service
they,
already
well,
sent
Well, actually,
over there.
The very first step they do, which is kind of cool, when they start to see the winner, is they fucking block the airspace over your house. That's so baller. So they fucking shut down the airspace over his house today because they were like, okay, Biden.
I see you. Yo, you think you think Trump's like, yo, where the fucking, where's my airspace at?
Well, he's in the White House. They always get the airspace.
Right, oh, he always gets the airspace in the White House.
But Biden, wherever he is like, oh, those fucking planes are gone.
Pretty.
The choppers are gone. I wish I could do that around my house. And
it's
also
so
leaf blowers. Have you noticed during COVID how many fucking leaf blowers there are? I mean, come on, people. Enough with your fucking leaves. Just leave the leaves. Leave the leaves. It's like a Seinfeld bit. Leave the leaves.
Episode 10 of The Mandalorian came out.
I didn't see
this
it yet.
Morning.
You watched it.
Have you watched episode one? I mean,
I did. I really
nine?
Liked it. I really liked it.
Did you like
it.
Nine? Did you like Timothy Oliphant?
You know that I love Timothy Oliphant. You know that I made a movie with Timothy Oliphant.
I know you did.
And I said to Joelle on Twitter that I definitely felt my Kinsey scale shift.
As did we all.
I felt both my Kinsey scale and my penis shift just gently. He is a handsome man.
Not only is he a handsome man,
I mean,
I
he's,
want
getting
more.
Hotter. He's getting hotter.
He, yeah, he, well, he's got that Pierce Brosnan freaking.
No, but the gray is working for him.
Where he gets more distinguished as he gets older. But let me tell you something right now. He has graduated to a lot of Star Wars fans' most favorite character in Star Wars, or one of them. Like, he's top 10 all of a sudden.
Really? That fast?
Dude, the character was so
I
dope,
didn't know.
Dude.
Forgive me, and I because I'm not you and
Joel. And it's not even. And it's a character that they made in a book. They wrote about the character in the book. That's all you know about him.
I didn't know that it was Boba Fett's actual armor.
Yeah, that's what made it fire, dude.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that until someone explained it to me, and that's why it was in the what are those people called? Their big
Jawas
in the Jawa ship,
and that was Boba Fett at the end too, who turned around.
I thought that was Jango Fett.
No, Jango Fett got his head sliced off. That was his clone, Boba.
Oh, I can't keep track of all this bullshit. But anyway.
The sun he raised.
Watch your mouth.
It was really well done. It's really well done. I mean, shout out to, you know, Bam. So Flo hates the Sideshow Collectibles Baby Yoda. She thinks it's really freaky. And he's going to have to move down to my office because I was keeping him in the living room. I think another reason that she wasn't liking it is that I was hiding him around dark corners. And every time she would come around, he'd be standing there on the ground. And after like three screams, she was like, put this fucking thing away.
Inappropriate.
I just really wish you would watch your mouth when you talk about Star Wars.
I love that you curse so much, but when we're talking about your favorite, it's like you're like a religious person. It's like we're talking about Bible characters. So you're like, don't curse around the Bible.
Well, it's just that I know what it's meant for, and anytime I'm talking about this, if it's going to be listened to, I don't want people to I want everybody to hear my Star Wars message when I talk about it. I don't want it to be censored for anybody. That's how much I love Star Wars. And I would prefer it if that's how everybody else treated it too. The only way that any of the stuff that you say is going to really affect the people that Star Wars is made for is if you take some of the profanity out. I'm just putting it out there.
Who's your least favorite character? Like, through all the movies, if you were like, you know what? The motherfucker I hate the most is this guy. And don't say Jar Jar Binks, because that's easy.
No, I actually liked it. I think Jar Jar Binks is a character that needs to be revisited, to be honest with you.
Okay, so then who's your answer? Joel, I wish the audience could see Joel's face.
Perplexed.
It's so serious. It's
that
like
hate.
It's a hard one. Well, you know, that whole diner sequence in Attack of the Clones was a little weird, even though they introduced a character with four arms, which was really awesome.
That's a location.
But you could tell that that dude had been in some type of battle. You know, he had fought. He wasn't just a cook. He had skills. So I can't even say him. I don't know, dude. I don't know who my – That's hard. Well, that's very difficult.
The audience, I worry we're boring the audience. We should move on to the show Scrubs because that's why they're here.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
I already know. What? Out of all of it?
Yeah.
The Knights of Ren.
No! Okay, new topic for the show because
oh, wow.
We are going to have whole conversations.
Wow, when you and
Joelle favorite
have
character?
And this is why. And it's my least favorite character because they did nothing with it. They really did nothing with it.
We're back on the same page. We're back on the same page. God damn it. Okay.
They really did nothing
with it.
Well,
for those of you who are titillated by this, if your nipples are perked up, one day Donald and Joelle are going to have their own Star Wars podcast. By the way, do you know about this ESPN radio show / TV show with Dan Le Batard and Stu Gatz?
Yes.
Stu Gatz. You know?
I don't even know who those people are.
Some of those producers follow me on Twitter.
It's a
Bellamy.
Bill, yeah.
Shout out,
Bill,
Roy.
Bill told me that this is a very big sports thing that you would know.
Oh,
about.
I know Dan Lebatard is.
Yeah, and apparently some of them are big Scrubs fans and even listen to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Roy. Mm-hmm.
And
Roy's the man.
Yeah,
who's Roy? Who? I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking with you guys.
Put some respect on Roy Bellamy's name.
And also they've been having Bill because Bill now is like, you know, now he likes podcasts because he's got his palate wet. So apparently Bill's been going on their podcast.
Has he been going 5, 6, 7, 8?
No, but he told me, we were just FaceTiming, and he goes, they literally had him on a few days, and they were like, we've been trying to get you on. And he was like, really? And the producer goes, yeah, like 5, 6, 7, 8 times.
That's right. Adorable.
Well, apparently that's a big, I wouldn't know, it's a sports thing, but I thought you would know what that's about, Donald. Why don't you count us into America's favorite theme song?
I mean, speaking of 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
Gabby
goodness.
Doesn't listen. rain on Friday.
Oh my God, there she is, everybody.
So ironic that we record on Friday. Yeah. I wonder if Gabby's gonna listen this Friday, because all the other days she does.
All right, now we have to explain to everyone what the hell that's about. So you guys, as you know, Bill Lawrence shamed us for doing a podcast about Scrubs and not having one of the writers on other than him. And we are so blessed to have our first non-Bill hilarious comic writer, Gabby Allen Greenberg.
Hi there.
Thunderous applause, Dan. Turn your key, Zach.
Yes, thunderous applause. Now, Donald was just singing a song, but before we do anything, the writers' rooms, if you're not involved in TV writing at all, you wouldn't know, but TV writers' rooms are very silly, and there's lots of inside jokes, and 90% of the time is spent joking around, and then occasionally they write something for the show. And so there are lots of jokes, and a song, I guess, Gabby, you'll have to tell us why this song was written, but someone wrote a song called Gabby Doesn't Listen on Fridays.
I mean... You know, a lot of these bits, the foundation's very thin. I'm not going to lie. You know, so, you know, you say something once and then it becomes lore. I think right. There was one Friday, you know, where I just didn't listen. You know? I mean, it just might be as simple as that.
Yeah.
I was pregnant a lot, I feel like, during Scrubs. So right. I feel like maybe I was... had a little bit of pregnancy brain but I think I did listen on Fridays or one Friday. And then Mike, who would pretty much write a song about anything.
Right. Mike Schwartz,
would just took it and ran with it.
Well, it's such a hooky song, but that here we are hooky. 20 years later. I know the melody.
And we're still singing. And then there was also the other song, the other thing that you non sequitur Mondays. What was that?
I don't remember.
I don't remember now.
But I remember, I actually remember more words to the Gabby song. Gabby doesn't listen on Fridays. Gabby only listens the other 4 days.
Six days.
I don't know if you were counting weekends or not.
Week. No, we
I
were didn't counting,
know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were counting weekends.
We counted weekends. I think it was, we'd have to ask Schwartz.
Gowdy,
I'm
Gabby
sure was,
only listens the other 6 days.
And then there was some harmony. I mean, we really went for it. We spent a lot of time on that. There's a whole album.
I have to say that if I wasn't an actor, I think one of the most fun jobs in Hollywood, and you're going to correct us if I'm wrong, but being in a writer's room, being in a comedy writer's room with, first of all, you can be in one that's horrible where everyone's looking around going, oh my God, this sucks. But when you're in a good one with a group of people that you find hilarious, it's the greatest job in the world, isn't it?
It is the greatest job in the world. It really is. Yes, there are rooms that are no fun or tense, but the Scrubs room in particular was really fun. We loved each other. I mean, you are together a lot. Every day does feel like a dysfunctional Thanksgiving dinner with your family because you're seated around that table and you get to know each other so well. Like, you certainly get on each other's nerves after a while.
Yeah.
But in a loving way, the way you are with family. But it is one of the most fun jobs. The first time I ever was in a room, I remember a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to sit in because I'd written a pilot and I was messing around with looking into maybe doing it professionally. And he was running a pilot and he said, well, do you want to sit in on my pilot and just see what it's like, sit in on the room? And back then there were not as many women in rooms. Back in the old days, and when I was coming up, I walked in, and it was a bunch of guys in sweatpants eating Chinese food and farting, and I was like, "I'm home." I just and I said to my friend, "This is a job." This is a job I could get paid for.
So, whenever we have people related to the show, and we always talk about how they started and everything. And I know for a fact there's a lot of people that listen to this show who aspire to be all sorts of entertainment writers, particularly a TV comedy writer, which, as I just said, is a pretty dope job. So tell people, and also you're a woman, which, like you said, is still very hard, but much harder 20 years ago. So tell everyone about how it happened. How did you get break in? Because you've had this amazing
career.
Well,
I mean, it's just sexual favors. I mean, okay. It's, you know, all right. That's
everyone
how we
write
did
that
it.
Down.
That's how
that's
we did
how
it,
it was
back,
done
then.
Back then.
And I just want to be honest about what it took until, I mean, because of what I had to sacrifice, I opened the door to women who don't have to do that now.
Yes.
But that's what I did.
You
do you want to say
team.
You're welcome? Do you want to tell them you're welcome?
Yeah. Okay, ladies.
Is Bill Lawrence a gentle lover? Was Bill Lawrence a gentle lover again?
Well, I didn't have to do it with Bill. Okay, okay. Yeah, which was kind of him. Yeah.
He's such a kind.
No, he just hired me based on my talent, I think. I mean, you'd have
he
to
did.
Ask him.
He did actually he loves you very much, as you know.
I love
and
Bill.
And he was bragging about you, and I want to talk about all the fancy shows you've been writing on since. Tell people, and keep in mind, a lot of people, most people, yeah, listen to the show aren't in the business at all. So how does one become a working, successful TV comedy writer? Like, what how did you go?
Right.
I mean, it's different for lots of people, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
what was your
definitely.
What was your process journey?
Well, before I answer that, I just want to say that it's really nice to see you guys.
It's good to see you too.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, no, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for being our first non-Bill writer on the show.
I'm honored and flattered, and it's really nice to see your faces.
And that's Joelle.
Hi, Joelle. Hi. Nice to meet you.
And that's Dano
right there.
Hi
the
there,
dude
nice dance, to meet you.
The dude dancing and the one that seems like he's not paying attention and he's freaking and doing a bunch of things, that's Dano.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, if you're going to do random shit, can you at least turn off your camera?
Dude, you're dancing in the fucking...
I know,
he's sitting there like this.
Don't drop the E during the show, bro.
It's got to be... it's got to be fucking house music because of the way he's dancing. He's like...
No, I bet it's election related. Like, did something happen?
It's like dropping.
Oh,
it's like he's waiting for that shit to drop.
By the way,
like,
Gabby, just so you know, Daniel will be watching while we're doing this. Daniel will be watching if there's anything he needs to tell us.
Okay, so he's gonna give us the breaking news.
Exactly.
Okay.
Giving me a job and then accusing me of paying attention to something else. I'm paying attention to the election.
But I'm just saying, if you could refrain from, while we have a very fancy guest doing what appears to be some sort of MDMA dance.
Oh my Lord.
Bass drop.
I'm keeping my cat.
It's okay with me. If you want
Thank
to dance,
you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, Gabby,
okay.
Back
I'll
to you.
So how did I break in? I always wrote as a hobby. I love to write. I have, my grandfather was a writer. And so that was something, even as a kid, I would write stories for fun. So that was just always a hobby. And I was an actress for a bit, and I would mostly do comedy. I was in a sketch comedy show. I would write my own material, we did that for a while. And then I started to move more into writing only and moving away from auditioning. So I wrote a pilot. I gave it to a friend of mine to see if it was anything. And he thought it was something. He didn't say it was good. He said it was something. But he was encouraging. And then that's when he asked me if I wanted to sit in to see if it was something I wanted to pursue. He thought that there was some potential. I don't know if this would help anybody because it's probably a unique, I mean, to me, but I had gone to network for a pilot as an actor. I went and there was a lot of improv involved in the audition, and I kept improvising, and they brought me back like 6 times, and then they didn't give me the job. They kept bringing me back, like every time I would go back, there would be like another Shiksa goddess. I was like, I'm not gonna, just one after the other.
Right.
So anyway, but I started punching up my own stuff and giving it to the writers and saying, can I try this joke if I go into this show? And so that friend who was doing that show said, well, do you want to just try this instead after I didn't get the job? And maybe it's time to just parlay into that. So
what was the first show that you sat in on the writer's room for?
That was, I think it was a pilot called Youth in Revolt. I don't think it went to series,
mm-hmm.
But that was the pilot I sat in on. And then the first job I had was I was doing punch up just a couple days a week for the Pauly Shore sitcom that he had on Fox.
I didn't know that Pauly Shore had a
The Weasel.
Oh, I didn't know he had a show.
He had a sitcom. It was about him living with his dad and super hot stepmom that he lusted after.
I can see the problems might arise there, Gabby.
There were a lot of complications.
Yes, it sets up a lot of
situations that happened that lent itself to comedy.
Yes.
So I did that a couple days a week.
You know, some of my favorite jokes on that show, I bet, were written by you.
Oh, yes.
I'm just kidding. I've never seen
Pauly?
The show.
No. Yeah. You just said you didn't see. You didn't even know there was a show. That was my first job. My second job was a show called Ask Harriet about a cross-dressing advice columnist.
So like Tootsie, kind of.
It was a Tootsie. Yeah, it's exactly. He had to dress up as a woman to get a job.
Okay.
So
I get it.
Yeah.
I did an after-school special once where I had to dress up as a woman in order to get a job.
Did Wait, you really?
What was
it? It was called about the brilliant. The brilliant title was, and you can Google this if you think I'm lying. Just put my name and quote my summer as a girl. End quote.
Really?
What was the job that you
wait to watch this?
What was the job that you had to dress up as a woman for?
They basically just robbed the plot of Tootsie, except in not being entertainment. It was the last job on this little island. It was meant to be like a Cape Cod kind of thing. Was as a chambermaid. And Barbara Barry, if you remember her, the actress,
of course.
She was running the inn, and there was a really hot girl that my character had a crush on, and there was only one job left, and it was to be a chambermaid, which I guess is like a housekeeper type, a maid. And so I had the idea, and I went full Tootsie, and you know, the after-school specials are always trying to teach you a lesson, the kids. So the lesson in this one was that my character had to learn what it was like to how to respect women, because he was going to be mistreated by men when he was dressed as a woman or girl, boy, because we were supposed to be teenagers. But it's a masterpiece if you ever get a chance.
Can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. The story had to be told.
I hope we can find it somewhere.
I don't know.
Oh, no, it's out. You'll find it.
Well, there's probably YouTube clips, but you can find the picture. You can find it. I was kind of hot. Although some people said I look like Heather Matarazzo, who I love, but I thought that I don't know if I agree with that.
When I dress up and put lipstick and stuff like that on, I just look like my mom, dude.
Really? I think you'd be really
pretty.
By the way,
thing.
Sorry to digress for a second. And don't think any, I hope you don't find this disrespectful. But your wife posted a picture on Instagram that was like fire, dude.
Oh.
She broke the internet, dude.
Yeah, listen, man, she didn't
what
break
is
the
going
internet.
On over there, dude? She broke the internet a little bit.
Nah.
And I love how she tried to make it about the baby, because she's like in a bikini and she knows her body's obviously fire and she's holding her baby and she's like, it's still warm in LA. And everybody's like, holy shit, Casey. You
Wait,
know what
Donald,
I'm talking
how
about.
Many kids do you have now?
11.
No, shut up. How many?
I have 6 kids now. But
oh, my God.
Wait. 4 of my kids are
They're grown.
Adults.
They're grown.
Okay.
He's only got 2 littles.
I have 2 little ones, and so.
But anyway, do you have a comment do you have a comment on your wife's thirst trap? Because I fell for it. I actually wrote, damn, Donald.
Yes. It was a thirst trap, wasn't it?
Yes,
thirst
it was.
Trap, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, we talk about it. You talked about it a few times on the podcast. Peloton is a big thing in our house now. And she, you know, where I slack, she 100% commits. And
did you spin today, by the way?
I did not spin today.
I did spin today.
But guess who did?
She did.
Absolutely.
And Casey I did too. Cobb. By the way, I'm using that guy you recommended. What's his name? Cody? He's fucking funny as
He's
shit.
He's fucking hilarious, right?
I love that
Cody
guy.
Cody makes me laugh so hard, dude.
He's my new favorite. I was using the British gal for a while, and now I'm on to Cody because he makes me laugh. All right,
we
sorry.
Should probably get into the show.
We got to talk about the show. Gabby, if you've ever heard the show, we don't really follow any linear. Ironically,
I have heard the show, and it's
we're talking
totally
to
fine.
A writer, and we don't follow anything linear here. So just talk to us. So how did, what was the job? Was Scrubs your first big break?
Yes.
Okay.
It was.
And then, and you did, how many seasons of Scrubs did you do before you were stolen away?
I did 4 seasons of Scrubs. And
now,
then,
did you leave or were you stolen? Were you like, I'm out?
What happens is they start throwing money when you're on a hit show and you're a writer. They start going, you know what? They're paying you that bullshit. You know, we'll pay you.
Right.
No, that's what happened.
It was a combination of having a baby, the, you know, hours on sitcoms are long. And yeah, so I left to develop my own stuff. Mm-hmm. But I ended up coming back to do, I think, a couple episodes after I'd had Ted, my son, mm-hmm. firstborn son. So I would say all in all, then I did some part-time. I was in and out. I did like five or six seasons.
And then what shows were you on after? Did you say Parks?
No, I was on, I didn't write on a show for a long time after, not a long time, but for a few years because of the baby. So I was writing movies I partnered up with Jen Crittenden. We started writing movies. Mm-hmm. And then the first TV job we came back to do was, we wrote on Divorce, the Sarah Jessica Parker show for HBO. Right. And then we wrote on Veep. And that's the last staff I've been on was Veep, which
that's a pretty darn good show to be on. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. Wow.
That was really fun.
If you haven't watched Veep, you need to watch Veep because I think the humor overlaps with that of Scrubs except it could be so much more R-rated. Not in terms of sexuality, but in terms of language, because there was a lot of language. There's a curse every other word, and it's fucking hilarious. And every single cast member is so talented, and I highly recommend Veep to you now more than ever because it really spoofs politics.
Well, you know, I mean, everything that they did on the show before we were there, and then while we were there, has happened. I mean, everything. Everything. Wow. This whole Nevada. I mean, I don't know.
The counting thing. They stopped the count. Wait, continue counting thing. I saw people were posting. This was a shtick on Veep. They did.
That's one of the best Veep episodes. I wasn't there when they did that episode. But that was one of the best Veep episodes ever. That one killed me, and that's very relevant. I mean, so many. I mean, we had an episode last season where Jonah went around getting everybody sick. He was horribly contagious while he was campaigning.
Right.
I mean, he did like daylight sick. I mean, it's just on and on and on.
Everything. But I really, really highly recommend that show to everybody. It's very, very funny. All right, we have to start talking about the episode of Scrubs because that's what people come here for. All this other stuff, that's just for us.
Okay.
Now people really want to hear, other than that Casey looks fire on Instagram, is they want to hear us chat about the show.
Yo, dude, why, man? Why?
I'm just saying you married well, bro. You married well.
I did all right, man. Okay. She loves me. I'm a lucky man. Okay.
You got abs. You could wash your clothes on them abs.
I'm going to start talking about your girlfriend's ass now. How about that? Would you like that?
No.
Okay. I'm uncomfortable.
But it's ridiculous. Oh my God. Okay, listen, man. My wife is doing a thing and it's not me doing that shit. So you talking about it to me is irrelevant. Congratulate her. She's putting in the work.
I'm just saying, separately from our friendship, I'm also really good friends with Casey, and I'm impressed with how fire she looks. So
well,
shout out to
tell
Casey.
Kate, right
on.
That's a great.
I do. I commented.
This is a great way to do it. Is to talk, but you know she doesn't listen to the podcast, so she's never going to hear this.
I know. I'll send her a text.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know that feeling when you just have something you need to get off your chest? It's like a rain cloud following you around in your life.
People all carry around different stressors, big and small. Everyone has stress, but we all handle it differently.
When you keep your emotions bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
We talk all the time about how much therapy has benefited us.
Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced a major life trauma. Therapy can help everyone with daily challenges with friends, family, and other relationships.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends.
Do you want to do the recap, or are we just
going
to
skip I forgot. All right. So, Gabby, as you know from being the our number one fan, Donald does a 37-second recap of the show. Donald, are you ready? I'm starting the timer. All right. Here we go. And
here we go.
Go.
JD and Danny are really starting to get to know each other. Turk and Carla are talking about children. Dr. Cox and Jordan aren't having sex because of just having children. Turk and JD both have big wins in the hospital. Elliot wants her big win and jumps at every opportunity to get it. Dr. Cox hurts his back and Carla wants children. These events lead Dr. Cox and Carla to one inevitable conclusion. They're getting old. I couldn't really pinpoint just one overall theme in this episode, but I identified with so much. Cox getting old. I feel like him more nowadays than I do Turk. We all have dreams of hitting the proverbial big shot, not recognizing that it often comes with consequences for someone else. Mm. But let's get past all of that. Let's say you finally get your chance at the big show. Can you bounce back when it doesn't go your way?
Mm. That's great. You know what? Even though that was like 9 minutes long.
I know, because I kept
We're not editing that because I want it to be a PSA for kids not to smoke weed. But listen,
no, dude, we're not talking about marijuana. I just was telling that you for your FYI.
Listen, motherfucker.
Listen, Dick.
We're not editing that out. But I like that you used the word bounce because it all started with basketball. Now I should mention.
Well, no, but I was gonna say that also. It starts off how do you bounce? You know, the show starts off with a basketball scene and he hurts himself, and throughout the show he shows I'm not going to let my back, Cox, that is, I'm not going to let my back distract me from having to do all of these things that I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. And throughout the show, Elliot's playing a game where she wants to win just like Turk and JD do. Mm-hmm. And when she gets her opportunity, when finally it's there, it looks like she's not going to get it. And then JD's like, no, you know what? Here's your shot at it. And she does everything right, and it still doesn't go her way. Mm-hmm. Like Cox in the beginning, can you stand up tall, even though you have all of this weight on your shoulders keeping you down and hurting you? Mm-hmm. Can you stand up tall and continue to push forward?
Well said. Well, Gabby, you wrote the damn thing. What do you
think? I did?
Yeah.
I don't.
Your name's
none,
on the.
None
your
of
name's
that
on the
familiar.
Did you watch the episode?
I messed up.
Gabby, did you watch the episode?
I don't
You didn't watch the episode. Oh, God. We try and give the guests homework here, Gabby.
I didn't get my homework.
It's all right. Well, we'll tell you all about it, and you can weigh in. Yeah, okay. The episode opens with, well, first of all, I think that's well said, Donald. I also wrote down that one of the themes of the episode is holding on to your youth. And at least the passage of time in terms of Cox wanting and lamenting being old, Carla lamenting her age, whereas Sarah wanting to step up and be a grown up and be an adult and be a real quote unquote doctor. It's about those new chapters of life as we age and grow.
It's about, you know, there are a lot of things that I identify with this. You know, Cox's storyline in this, and it's not just the back thing, it's also the whole sex thing with the wife, when it's not necessarily, you know what I mean, him just thinking about himself and not thinking about, you know, what his wife is going through, and thinking that offering himself up as a solution to anything is enough at that moment in time. You know what I mean? So, like, I very much identify with Cox in this episode. I try to hide when I'm injured now. Yep. I try.
And you probably can't play. You stopped playing basketball.
I do. I have stopped playing basketball. Yeah. Not just that. I have stopped just playing basketball. But not just that. You know, I'm working on this partnership of marriage. You know, as far as what's appropriate and, you know, how my wife likes to be treated. There was a time where we were young and things were accepted, and now it's like I say shit and she looks at me like, you're like a school on Saturday. You know what I mean?
No class?
No class. That's right. Yes. No class. No class.
Just filling that in. The accident, the episode opens with a green screen in the car that is so bad it almost looks like a spoof.
I thought it was great. I look back at that like that was a great moment for me because I remember shooting that.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember the accident.
Yeah, and do you remember that the stock footage of the car accident is from Vanilla Sky, bizarrely, the Cameron Crowe movie with Tom Cruise?
Does somebody fall out of? Nobody falls out of the car.
No, the car. If you remember in Vanilla Sky, the car goes off a bridge and then hits a wall beneath the bridge. Okay, I think it's Cameron Diaz, right? Mm. And I guess that footage is just available to license, and whoever edited this episode was like, oh, there's that car accident looks like a good thing for us to cut to, not knowing that everyone would be like, well, that's a very famous car accident. That's from Vanilla Sky.
I didn't know that.
You might have to go a little deep and look on Scrubs Wiki, but I didn't know that without looking at
Scrubs. But I thought it was really interesting how the background in the car, because that was clear that we were shooting on the green screen.
Right.
When I jump out of the car and I'm rolling in the street, the cars in the background react.
Yeah.
And this is like 20 years ago, dude. So you know that CG wasn't on point to where they could make cars look real. So I wonder where they got that footage from.
Well, it was definitely a 2002 effort, but it wasn't horrible.
Which means it was a great effort. I thought it looked great, personally. Right.
What about Bearded Elliot? Gabby, you remember that? Elliot decides that she's not taking her birth control pill for a full, how long was it? I forgot how long it was.
She forgot while she was on vacation. So when she got back, she took them all.
Yeah.
And then you asked her how it went. And it cuts to her in the mirror looking like Boy George. With the hat. But she even has the hat on and everything, dude. She even has the hat on.
The costume was amazing. It was very 80s, but she also she has a full beard, and it's homecoming. Yeah. And they're knocking on the door going, honey, your homecoming date's here. She's like, tell him I'll be right down.
No, she goes, stall him.
And she puts on shaving cream.
Hey, guys, I'm sorry. My computer is getting taken over. It's wild. I don't know what's happening.
No!
Here we go. Interrupting Bill. He's interrupting. Interrupting Bill. That's strange as a night. It should cost about $1 billion for your podcast. Hey, Gabby.
Hey,
Zach. Hey, Donald. Hey, Daniel. Hey, Joelle. Hey, 5, 6, 7, 8.
No, come on. We have a guest.
Got it out of the way.
Turn that stuff on.
Look.
It's
I think my podcast is going great. I'm happy to have Gabby, Donald, and Zach on it as a guest. I'm happy that you guys are finally having a writer on the show. I got two questions for you. One isn't a question. One, I want to force Gabby to tell the story of how she was put on maternity leave right now.
Okay, it's just, Oh, you want me to tell that right now?
Okay, why were you put on maternity leave? I mean, I know why you were put on maternity leave. What's he talking about?
The circumstances were that, so I was incredibly pregnant towards, you know, I was in my eighth month, and I would waddle into work every day and go right to that disgusting couch. Do you remember that disgusting couch that we found a possum in?
I did not know about that.
There's nothing glamorous about a TV writer's room. It looks and smells like
also
a frat house.
In an abandoned hospital.
Yeah.
So I would, every day I would waddle in and then go right to the couch and fall asleep. And and the couch was sort of behind Bill's chair. And then I don't remember how many times I did that, but it was, I finally attested Bill's patience. It was one too many times for Bill. And I walked in, I'd driven all the way there, walked in, I waddled in, I got on the couch, and he turned around, he swiveled in his chair towards me, and he said, "Go home. You're officially on maternity leave. I do not want to see you again until you have a baby." Like, all right. So I just got my stuff and I waddled out, and then I didn't come back for months. That was that. Okay. That was my maternity leave. He couldn't. Yeah.
He's like, you can't just come in here and go to sleep on the couch.
I can't look at you anymore. And it was too uncomfortable for everybody. So that was my maternity leave.
All right.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Go ahead.
Okay. I hope she used the word waddle, because she would waddle in and then get on the couch behind me and immediately go to sleep. That's how it would work.
Circle gets to square, Bill.
And then two, here's the question for you. Can you tell me why the storyline of having Neil Flynn's character be an actor that was in the movie The Fugitive made different people's head explode as far as the janitor's name goes?
Yes, because if Neil Flynn is the person credited as being the cop at the end of Fugitive, and he admits that he's the cop at the end of The Fugitive, then the janitor's name is Neil Flynn.
That is correct, Donald. So many people then started contacting me and saying that we had written ourselves into a corner, because that meant that the janitor's actual name was Neil Flynn, because in the credits of The Fugitive, it says that that cop that gets shot, Kimball, is played by Neil Flynn.
Yeah.
But I maintain that if you watch this episode, the janitor lies constantly, and Neil Flynn was simply the janitor's fake actor name.
Yeah.
And still is, because the janitor's a real character.
It's he's playing the long
game. I miss
long
you guys. Keep having writers on there. I love you. Thank you for doing my show. Please send the checks directly to my house.
Bye,
because
Bill.
Because you know what Bill needs, guys? Cash.
More money.
Yeah. I feel bad for them. I hope they're gonna be okay.
I hope they're gonna be okay over there.
They're gonna make it?
Yeah.
When I watched it today, they cut the scene out where we're watching The Fugitive at the end and you look and see his name in the credits. Was it in your version at all?
No, I never saw that.
Didn't we go, wasn't there a scene where we go to the credits and it says in the credits, janitor, as it's going
no,
up?
No, we may have shot that. I don't think that's in the episode.
Oh, okay. Well, that's let's ask Bill that.
All right.
No problem.
It's a great question, Donald. I got to be honest, you carry this show. You carry it, Donald. And I'm grateful for you guesting on my show. We did not record a scene of you guys watching the credits and seeing Neil Flynn's name. But you and me and Zach and other people on set, we goofed and bandied about. We were that idea, because we were a little ahead of it. And I remember distinctly talking about the fact that people are going to think they know that the janitor's name is Neil Flynn now. And they did. They reacted with an uproar. But they're wrong. His name's Glenn Mafoof.
I feel terribly that I didn't watch the episode.
Yeah, you're supposed to watch the episode.
You're supposed to, but it's okay.
No, but you know what?
I'm supposed to. I didn't know. I didn't know. I'm sorry. Well, this we just assume.
You know, I do want to say, even though I care about you a great deal, that you're not the. You're not really crushing the assignment as best first writer because you didn't watch an episode of the show that you yourself wrote.
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to.
But you said you listened to the show, though. You know it's a rewatch show.
Gabby, I'm going to quote the lyrics to America's favorite song, Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Daniel.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I really failed. Mm-hmm. This is terrible. Yeah. I feel like every other writer is going to know.
Well, every other writer will be told what we will now call
I bet you
the
Neil
Gabby,
will be better prepared.
We'll call him
I
the
bet
Gabby.
You Neil will be better prepared.
Oh, Neil will be better prepared. Gary Bonifant will be very prepared.
We will tell them, we will use what will from here on out be called the Gabby example about how you need to watch the episode.
This is terrible.
I'm not going to lie, though, Gabby. I'm just happy. I'm just so happy.
We're just happy to see you.
We're so happy.
I'm happy to be here. I'm sorry I'm failing you guys.
No, you're not.
You're doing such a great job.
Listen, as a fellow member of the tribe, I don't want you to spiral all weekend about this. You are amazing.
You're so kind. You understand. What we'll probably do is
hire a sound alike and edit some knowledgeable things from the episode in.
Okay, that would be great. Then I don't have to throw myself.
All right, look, we're gonna go to a break. Yeah, we're gonna break. And when we come back, we have a fan. Gabby, you don't listen to the show, but we have a fan that asks questions. And I bet you the fan watched the fucking episode. All right, we'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back, Gabby. Gabby, what show are you doing now? I hear you have a new show.
Oh, thank you for asking, Zach and Donald. Thank you for asking. My partner, Jen Crittenden, and I are running a show called Housebroken. It's a comedy. It's an animated show that will be on Fox May 17, 2021.
Nice.
We created it with Clea DuVall, Veep.
She's very alum. Good on that. Yeah.
And it is about animals in group therapy. So it's about a dog who has group therapy for the neighborhood pets when her owner goes to work for the day, and all the pets come together in her living room and bitch and moan about their owners and each other. And this poodle, voiced by Lisa Kudrow, takes them through their therapy.
You know, Gabby, I read for your pilot, I read for five different characters. I didn't get one.
You know, Gabby.
I know I did a poor job, but damn, I read five characters, not one.
And Gabby, I was one. Listen, I'm literally fucking Chicken Little. Chicken Little can't be one of the.
You guys are both gonna be on it.
No,
I don't know if you know this.
No,
but
no.
I did a show called Star Wars for a little bit for Disney. No. I mean, I'm just saying, man.
You guys don't have to audition. Donald, Gabby. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. You'll both be on it. I would be honored if you would both.
I read for a dog.
Gabby, you know what I want to say?
This is terrible. Now I'm sweating in my closet.
That's because the air doesn't go in the closet.
I just can't wait for there to be a call like they really want Chicken Little to come on this animal therapy show, and I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no.
No, Chicken Little's fucking saying no.
I'm going to say yes.
Donald. I appreciate that. I'm sorry, Zach.
You know, we're actors, Gabby. Anytime we hear about anyone getting a job, we have to be like, why didn't you give us that job?
I'm sorry.
I mean, Lisa Kudrow's great. Yeah. But. Come on.
She's no Donald Faison.
She's no Donald Faison.
No, she's not. I'm sorry. Really awkward and horrible.
It's all right. You're doing great.
No.
All right, let's let the guests in because this will be – now's your time to shine, Gabby, because the guest always has a problem and we're going to help fix their life. All right?
I can do that.
Yeah, so you're probably good at giving advice. You're a mom.
All right.
Both guests.
Oh, both guests. Joelle, what do you have cooked up here today?
What's going on here, Joelle?
Oh, it's a couple.
I thought you had two different.
They have a sweet story, and my gosh!
Hi,
hello, Lauren McCormick and Sam McCormick.
Hi, Lauren.
I was told to expect that.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Oh my God, your fucking eyeballs are gonna pop out of your head. Do you remember in Pee Wee's Big Adventure when Large Marge goes like that? That's what all happened to Donald. You guys, welcome to the program. In addition to Daniel and Joelle and Donald and I, you have one of our all-star writers, Gabby Greenberg, right there. Gabby Allen Greenberg. Sorry, it's a married hyphenate. And tell us, we hear you guys have some special story involving your love.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let me guess, you guys are on two different coasts and are married. I'm just going off the top here. I'm thinking this is just me coming up with an idea. It's like a Sleepless in Seattle type situation, but only over Zoom. Yeah. Am I correct?
No, that's
kind of. I mean,
tell us what the story is, guys.
So, go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, so we're both doctors. We met at university. So we did a degree before we did medicine. So we met during that, and I had never seen Scrubs beforehand. And
neither is Gabby.
I'm very, very ashamed to say that. but Sam was absolutely obsessed from Scrubs, really. We watched a lot of Scrubs in the early days of going out, and he bought me the DVD box set, and Scrubs just became our thing. So whenever we got into medicine, it was really good because we were able to answer some of the questions, and so we watched Scrubs on all of our study breaks, and basically got us through uni. So Scrubs has been a really, really big part of our studying and our relationship.
And now you guys are married?
Yeah.
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 Married. Sam, you look like you're at work. Because you're in Scrubs.
I just finished half an hour ago. I just finished 12-hour shift.
And where are you guys based?
So I'm the Ulster Hospital. So we're Northern Ireland. So my hospital is just outside Belfast, and Sam's is 2 hours away from there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So you're not... Yeah.
So I'm not wrong about you guys not being together, am I?
It's not a big country, but yeah, we're on opposite sides, yes.
Because usually when couples come on the show, they're sitting right next to each other and everything. Yeah. And
so how often do you get to see one another?
It sort of depends. So we live quite close to where I work, so I'm home pretty much every night. Obviously, it's not sustainable really for Sam to drive up and down 2 hours.
Yeah.
Well, 2 hours one way, twice a day. So really just whenever we're off together, which really doesn't happen very often. So next weekend I'm on and Sam's off, and that just kind of happens.
Wow.
Well, how long do you want to be doctors for?
Yeah, I think you guys need to retire. Fuck this.
Or married.
Or married.
Hopefully the marriage will last longer than the medical.
Oh, the marriage is definitely, I can tell. Yeah. I can tell already through your Zoom vibe that y'all going to be together for a while. He was already like, go ahead, baby. Whatever you want to say, go ahead, say it.
If you guys stay apart, it'll last a long time.
Yeah, that's true. You won't annoy each other. Yeah. But I feel sad about it. It made me think of that song from American Tail. Somewhere out there beneath the pale blue night.
Sing it.
Someone's thinking of me and wishing me good night.
Somewhere out there.
Go ahead.
Someone singing a prayer that we'll find one another. And that great somewhere out there.
And even though I know how very far apart we are,
helps to think we might be wishing
on the same bright star. That's
and it. When the night wind starts to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky. Okay, oh, somewhere out there.
This Donald still remembers the harmony.
This is for Sam and Lauren. Oh, if love can see us.
Love can see us.
Then we'll be
All right, enough.
We're about to get sued. We're about to get sued by the Don Bluth movie, American Tale.
No.
From my youth.
I just think of this. I always think of star-crossed lovers at least we're looking at the same moon. So that's why I think of you guys. Look,
you know,
at the
when
same...
you say star-crossed lovers, that reminds me of another thing.
What?
I hate to do this to Lauren, but it also reminds me of Taylor Swift, because that's what I thought she said. Was got a long list of ex-lovers. I thought she said something like star-crossed lover. Is this too? I'm going. This is too nonsense.
Yeah, that's whatever. The weed. The My weed's bad. Kicking in. Now you guys don't have probably legal weed in Northern Ireland, but Donald really partakes in.
They're
Los
also
Angeles.
Doctors, dude. No, they're doctors, man.
Well, doctors
they
can
have
get
abortion
high.
Now. You can get an abortion now, right? So that's good.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. I'm gonna bring it down. All right, anyway.
It's a great issue.
I personally would rather get high, but whatever your thing is, Gabby.
To take our victories where we can.
Okay. All right. Do you guys have a question for any of us?
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. Yeah, so we had our honeymoon in Disney World last summer, 2 summers ago. So we're big Disney fans, big theme park fans. So we
wait,
thought,
Disney World where? Orlando?
Florida, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we thought if there was any kind of theme park attraction or area you could create, what would it be?
Oh,
if you could create, you're speaking to the right guy, Don. What would you create? And you can't say Star Wars, because please.
It's got to be Star Wars.
Why can't I say Star Wars?
Okay, I guess you can. Sam's the guest, and he says it can. Sam, are you a big Star Wars fan as well?
Yeah, huge.
Okay, so what are you going to create?
Are you getting the Mandalorian
system?
Already?
Oh, shut yes.
up, man. Just yes. Have you been watching it already?
Yeah, I watched the first episode. So
have you seen the second? You haven't seen the second one yet because you're at work.
No.
Okay. Right, don't bore the fans, Donald. What world are you going to create of a theme park?
First of all, fuck you. Second, if I had to build a world and it was a theme park, I would want to build a very, very immersive world in like some type of future reality type thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be Star Wars, but just something different. I think if we go future, you can go heavy roller coaster, you can go heavy simulator, you can go heavy, you know, or... I mean, because Westworld, the only way that works is if it's all like, you know, if you can, you know, get that deep into a universe, that would be great. So, but I would personally want to do something futuristic and, you know, something that's a little bit of a darker future for us where, you know, we're cybernetic or, you know.
Like Ready Player One kind of thing, sounds like what you're saying.
I like that idea, but I also like the idea of like Elysium or what was the one with District 9? I like that type. Those are some really dope sci-fi movies to me, and that seems like that could be our future with all this pollution that we're doing and all of these, you know, all of this looking into cloning and looking into cybernet, you know, we can build legs now, we're working on arms. I feel like that would be more of our future. So I would want to build something that I think would be close to it and see if I was right. Like Back to the Future was pretty close to the Cubs winning the World Series. I would want to be close to something like, you know.
All right, I'm going to go the opposite way and say I would build the Goonies amusement park.
Oh, yes.
That's pretty good, dude.
All Goonies.
That's pretty good, dude. Wow.
And you would go on the quest, everything. Chester Copperpot. It would be, you would be trying to find Chester Copperpot with your group. It would combine.
Oh, like you would actually do like a real, like the real Goonies movie?
Yeah,
would go
bro.
Straight Goonies. You would just go scavenger hunt and
no.
make it sick. And
no, it's the size of Disneyland, but it's Goonies.
Then if that's the case, I would do Total Recall.
Okay.
If you're going to go movies.
Okay, next question, guys. Next question.
Did playing doctors ever make you want to actually be a doctor or?
No.
Have any thoughts about it? No.
No.
Fair.
If anything, playing a doctor made me realize I did not want to be a doctor.
Well, for me, it made
you
me.
You guys have a very difficult job that requires saving people, and there's a lot of pressure in that, and sometimes you're going to fail. And I don't know how well I could handle that, and you have to have a lot of stamina and a lot of constitution to be able to do such things. And
I actually did CPR on someone, and they did not survive.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
They don't survive very often.
Yeah, I never told you that story.
Are you serious, Zach?
Yeah, I was a part of a rescue squad team in high school. I was the junior person, so don't get me wrong. They were paramedics, they were EMTs, and I was like the cadet. You know, they had a cadet program to train. It was kind of the show, 17, 18-year-olds, would you want to pursue medicine? That's how I saw it. And I went on, about 100 calls, and only maybe five of them were super serious.
Yeah.
And then on one of them, I was one of the people participating in doing CPR, obviously with paramedics and EMTs next to me, but we all took turns with the compressions. And that person did not ever come back. And I think early on, I was like, wow, I don't know that I could have this be a regular part of my life. I've always, always had such admiration for people that could could do that.
That's some hero stuff right there, man. That's true hero stuff.
The other aspect of it is that I think Donald and I would both admit that we're not academics in and the amount of school and the
well, you're
of
more your academic level is way more than mine. You graduated Northwestern,
right?
I graduated a professional children's school, and a lot of that shit was on favors from my teachers.
All right. Well, I can say that neither one of us had the commitment to studying that you guys needed to have. And so we applaud our medical heroes for that and for being able to do CPR and sometimes not bring someone back and go, okay, onward, here we go. And I think we all applaud that. All right.
What kind of medicine are you guys in before we move forward?
So over here we foundation training. And then you decide sort of what you want to do after that and specialize. So we're still within the like foundation training, so we haven't actually subspecialized yet, but yeah, there's a lot of choice for sure.
Yeah, not too far off where these characters are in Scrubs at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are very, you guys are like 3 years in.
Internship, if you like. Yeah.
Right. Got it.
Well, I think you guys need to have your lives fixed because we got to solve this separated thing. Gabby, we do a segment now called Fix Your Life, and it's time. Donald's ready. It is time to
Fix Your Life!
And I don't know if you're going to bring up this separated lovers thing, but how can we help?
Okay. My wife asks me pretty much every day when we can have children.
Yeah.
When you can have kids?
Yeah.
Yes. Wait, did your wife know about Lauren?
Gabby. Gabby, there she is. There's our girl.
And I am very open to the idea. It's definitely our future, but I also think with the being on opposite sides of the country and very difficult schedules, it's tough right now, but I guess I know Donald are dads, both you guys. Is there ever
a wait, Daniel, you're a dad?
No.
No.
What? No, Daniel's not a dad. Thought.
I'm not only
Donald's our Donald's our resident dad.
Me, I'm the only dad on the on the podcast. Funny, I think.
Yeah, you panicked. I love how Daniel's face was like, "Fuck my life." Oh no, no.
Hello.
All right, but go ahead, Sam. What's your question? How can we help?
Is there ever a good time
to have what? To have kids?
Yeah, or do you just have to make the time?
Wow, Gabby, you could totally talk about this.
Yeah,
also.
Let's give Gabby a chance to talk because Gabby, this is something Gabby can speak to.
It might.
It's like the only thing I can speak to.
No, you can speak on so many things. look, when it happens, it happens. No matter when it happens, if you want it to happen, and it happens, it's always a great thing, you know. And sometimes a surprise is a great thing too. I'm someone who's had several surprises in his life, and so, and they all are the most amazing things that I've ever experienced, over and over again, and so. If you guys are into it and you want to do it, it's always a good time. If you're not into it and it just so happens, yeah, you have a decision to make, but that's a good time too, you know? Okay. And you're never ready. You're never prepared. And so it doesn't matter.
Gabby, what about you? What are your thoughts on it?
I think if you want to do it and you just make it work. You know, it's one of those things. Is it ever a good time? I mean, for me personally, I really felt, and I know it's different for everybody and everyone's situations are so different, but for me, I really felt like I was ready. I really wanted to have children. I felt ready to have children. And, you know, life is always going to throw you curveballs and things are going to shift and change. And I think you just have to have the attitude that you'll make it work no matter what. And you do what you have to do if that's what you want. You know, but nobody knows better than you guys if it's the right time. And I will say, you know, it's the most annoying, hardest job
ever,
ever. But, you know, it's one that you never regret. I mean, you were always, you're always happy. You can't imagine. You can't imagine your life without it and you don't want to, but man, it's hard. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, it's hard. It's great. And it's great, Donald. I mean, like, it's great. And it's, and then when you're bitching and bitching and bitching and bitching about it all the time, then you miss every phase terribly. Like my kids are now 13 and 16 and I desperately miss like having the littles and the cuddle time and I'm watching them, you know, have autonomy and they don't want to hang out with me anymore. And it's horribly heartbreaking after bitching for years about how I had no free time. So, you know, it's just, but it's the greatest thing. If you want it, it's the greatest thing. So I guess my advice would be just make sure you really want it and then you'll make it work no matter what. I guess, if, you know.
Yeah. We never really get huge ringing endorsements for having children on this.
No, because everybody who has children.
Everybody who comes on is like, it's fuck.
No, but you know what? Because what you get from people is the truth though, man. That shit is the hardest thing you're ever going to do in your life, man. And Gabby's right. Kids are so fucking annoying, man. It's ridiculous, man. Like, so annoying, like to the point where you want to strangle them. Like, you want to grab them and choke them. But then you're like, but then I won't have this anymore. And I have to have this forever.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a, I'm salivating. That's how much I love my children.
I think like everything in life, you just have to go into it knowing that, and I think this is what people don't talk about. And that's why I like to talk about it, honestly, is that you gain so much. And that's the part that, you know, is amazing and you'll never look back and regret, but you know, you lose something too. And I think you always have to weigh those things with every big step in life. You know, you're going to gain while you lose and it's complicated. And you just kind of, I think you, if you go in with your eyes open, then it's awesome. But, it's definitely not for the faint of heart.
No, but you're right about that. You do lose something, but you're going to get it back. But when you get it back, it's just like you said.
Well, you're
you miss
too old
everything.
To enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you miss
you're
it all.
Like,
you're like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
God. That's why maybe, just, you know, having...
this podcast is like birth control.
Gabby froze. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Gabby froze.
No!
No, we lost Gabby.
Get her back! Get her back!
Yeah. Can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to thank you guys for making this podcast. So like when COVID started the first time around, the first lockdown, the news was depressing, to be honest. I stopped listening to the news. It was hard to go to work every day knowing the cases that were coming in. So I started listening to the podcast every day on the way to work, and I still do. It's the perfect length of an hour and a half to get me to, from home to work. Yeah, thank you so much for making this.
Oh, you're very dude. Sweet.
Thank That's you. Very, very nice sweet. Of you.
You're a very nice man, and thank you for dedicating your life to helping people. We really, really thank you, and we love doing it. And the fact that people feel that way, especially people in the medical field, it warms our hearts. So thank you very, very much. All right. And I hope one day that I'm as soft-spoken as you are. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm a loudmouth. I can be obnoxious. But one day when I grow up, I want to be soft-spoken and maybe have an Irish accent.
I really hope you guys get to spend some more time together.
Yeah, can't you get a job at the same hospital? How can Donald I mean? Make a call? I mean, how do we get you?
I got clout in Ireland, I'm going to tell you right now. I got
they
that
love
clout.
Donald. They love Donald in Ireland.
It won't be like this forever.
Yeah, one day. All right, guys, we got to go. But thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Right, send us pictures. Well. Send us pictures when you do decide to have a baby. We want to see.
We will.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
Tim and
Lauren. Right. Very sweet people.
My computer froze.
Did you watch the episode real quick?
In your time away, were you able to watch the episode?
Look, you guys know I don't listen on Fridays.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, we have a new verse of the song. Gabby doesn't watch episodes she's supposed to watch on Fridays.
You knew what you were getting into. It's Friday. I told you. Ugh.
All right, look, let's get
Gabby,
back
Gabby, you know something that I remember just to go back into this?
Yeah.
You're a big Star Wars fan.
I am a big Star Wars fan, Donald.
I knew that.
I can't remember that.
I did remember that because I remember being blown away and being like, I remember we were outside and we were filming outside. And it was one of your shows. And I was like, and you said something about Star Wars. And I was sitting at Video Village and I turned around and I kept trying to have conversations with you guys about it. But there was work to be done. But I was staying at Video Village and I said a few things and you're like, oh, absolutely. And then you ran off with something else. And I was like, holy shit, she's a real Star Wars fan. This isn't just. You know,
I'm a real Star Wars fan. I'm not as big a fan as you because haven't. It's definitely, it's way, you know, just over. I don't watch The Mandalorian, but
you should. So as someone who's not into Star Wars, it's the thing I like most, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I find it very, very entertaining, and it's incredibly executed. And as a film geek, they're doing things the way they're shooting it technologically is like. So brand new and interesting and probably the future of the way they're going to do visual effects.
Oh, wow.
And so it's Jon Favreau is just, you know, killing it. And I just think it's really well done.
It's just crazy. When you talk, like when you say Jon Favreau doing this, that's one of those who knew, you know what I mean? He's kind of like George Lucas. Who knew that they're his tech and the things that he experienced while doing Lion King and all of that stuff would be at the forefront. He's not just making cinema and television and movies and stuff like that. He's reinventing it. And
yeah, but it's even more than the tech he learned on all that stuff they're doing with Lion King and Jungle Book. It's like, you know, there's no green screen. Like if you want to geek out, watch behind the scenes of the Mandalorian videos. No, I'm telling the audience.
Oh.
First of all, it's all everything you see there. Like I'm just as an example, the stormtroopers with Jason Sudeikis in the middle of the desert. There's no desert. There's no, it's all on stage. There's no exteriors. I mean, if there's exteriors, it's contained in a very small area. It is all, and there's no green screen. It is unbelievable technology. And if you're a film geek, it's something you should watch because it's definitely going to be how more and more things are made. We should probably talk about Scrubs
COVID,
for a
right?
We should talk about Scrubs for a second, probably, right? this episode?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Shaft, Donald Faison doing a big Shaft number.
Who is the doc that won't cop out when no attendants are about? Turk! Damn Skippy.
I have never seen a Shaft film.
Not even the ones with Sam Jackson?
I don't know if that's controversial or not. No, I've never seen dude, a quote-unquote the one with Sam
Jackson,
movie.
The first Shaft movie with Sam Jackson is everybody's introduction to Jeffrey Wright. I suggest you go and check that shit out. The one with Sam Jackson in it. The first Shaft movie, Jeffrey Wright plays the bad guy. Christian Bale's in it too. Jeffrey Wright such a great actress. How could I forget her name?
Colette. Is it Vanessa Williams?
No.
No.
No, but I'm saying, did you watch it as a child?
She might be in it too, though. She's such a great actress.
Did you as a child?
No, but I know who Richard Roundtree is.
But did you watch Joelle or Daniel or I'm assuming not you, Gabby? Did you guys watch these sort of?
No, I wasn't allowed to. I wasn't allowed to watch some of them because of the content as a youth. But as I got older, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, my dad did not bother with ratings or anything. We watched all of the action movies, like starting at 6. We watched Stormtroopers when it came out. So we definitely watched a lot of Shaft.
Similarly, after the fact, when I was a little bit older, my dad was like, let me show you some other stuff. I was like, okay, cool.
Let me show you the good shit.
I had to convince my parents to let me watch the A-Team, dude. Like, that shit was tough.
Oh, really?
Because I had to tell them, I'd be like, yo, nobody dies in the A-Team, Dad. It's just a bunch of people getting thrown out of cars and stuff like that.
And by the way, it's funny, in the A-Team, they specifically made it so everyone's firing machine guns, but no one gets hurt.
No one ever gets shot,
It's like G.I. Joe, the cartoon. They're always, like, a plane blows up, and then you see everyone jump out.
You see the parachute last second.
Donald, were you talking about Toni Collette?
Yes, Toni Collette.
She's a great actress.
I laughed about the janitor and his multiple characters that he plays around the hospital. There's the stutterer, German, there's the British guy.
I wanted to talk about this also because that's one thing that we don't go into a lot. The janitor storyline, we kind of gloss over it every day. This was one of those storylines, though, where it was like, this could have been an A storyline and everybody would have been into it. It was one of those very funny... Him talking to you, and then the guy coming up and saying, all right, Nigel, good night, and him going, good night. That shit fucking had me laugh so hard, dude. Yep. And I don't mean to laugh at people who stutter, but that shit was a great transition from him ragging on you.
Yeah. He's like Kaiser Soze.
He's
like
Kaiser Soze, dude.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. Yeah, I don't know how much we explored that as the show went on, but the fact that no one in the hospital really sees this – same person. He plays at least four people amongst the staff of Sacred Heart.
It's like Nigel, the stuttering guy, Klaus, the German.
Yeah, and then there's a British guy.
Right, something like that.
How about when I?
Oh no, wait! But that should, it's Nigel. Nigel is the British guy.
Yeah, he goes classic Nigel.
Classic Nigel.
Who says classic Nigel?
Rob, that's funny.
Classic Nigel. I thought when I take there's a flashback when I took an I'm bragging about saving an old man's life and I bring him to a party and this actor must be 900 years old, but he goes, I thought you said there'd be some bitches here. And I go, we just got here, man. Look around.
It's always funny when old people swear.
Yes.
It always
funny.
Old.
Every time.
It's an easy laugh. Old.
It's an easy laugh and it always works.
I remember thinking this guy should not be like out and about. Like this man. This man needs to be at home in bed. I mean, he was so old.
How about Doc from the Love Boat, bud?
Yeah, Doc from the Love Boat.
Oh, Bernie Coppell?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was
Sarah's
patient.
That was
Sarah's
a big
patient.
Get.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Cool.
That was cool. And Sarah, I thought, was very good in this episode when she loses him, but she kind of has to grow. I thought it was an interesting contrast from the pilot, us running when there's a code and hiding in the closet, to now running to compete to who can get the glory for trying to save somebody's life. It was you know, this many episodes later.
I noticed that they had to find a way to get Elliot back to one in a lot of ways. Because when we last left off, Elliot's on the come up, right? So she has a boyfriend. Her job is, she's doing great at her job. Her confidence level is at its all-time high, right? And then we stop talking about her for a couple of episodes. We now focus on JD's new love interest for two episodes. And when we come back to Elliot, now she's starting to unravel again. And she talks about it in the show too, but she puts it off on JD. Like, all of this is happening to me because of how you reacted to our breakup.
Well, but she's saying you're not over it. You're just using Tara Reid's character, Danny, as trying to make me jealous. And
right.
You're clearly just being a dick because you still have feelings for me and you're mad at me and you're being passive aggressive. That's what she's saying.
But this goes back to what we were talking about in the last episode where she was teasing you, where she was doing all of these things like bending over in front of you and smacking your ass and yawning in front of you. And we asked the question whether that was on purpose or by accident, if she knew she was doing it or was she playing with JD.
Right.
And now we come to this episode and it definitely feels like she was fucking with JD back then. And,
well, she's not doing
and
it
now,
anymore.
And now all of those things that worked aren't working because his focus is on
Danny.
Is on Tara Reid's character.
But Danny. I don't really think he likes Danny that much. I think that, you know, obviously, I think she's pretty...
I think she's absolutely right. But I think I think Elliot's absolutely right about what's going on with JD. This is what makes the show so fucking dope. You know what I mean? Like, you come back to it now and you can recognize all of this stuff in your life or you've seen it in your friend's life and everything like that. When we were going through this, I couldn't see any, like... I watched the Dr. Cox character and the Jordan character, and that really entertains me. Not so much with us anymore. Like, Turk, JD, and Elliot is fun to watch, but really where I get my meat and the things that I can relate to now are with the Cox character and with the mentor character and having to... And maybe it's because I'm getting older, but it just shows
how... you're going through that stage of your life.
But it just shows how great this show is. It's like, all right, everybody can find something in here, whether you're a beginner or you're a veteran. You know what I mean? There's something in here for everyone. There's comedy and life lessons in here for everyone. It's easy to find. And that's what makes this show so dope.
What about when Todd says, I'm not allowed to call you vagina face?
Right. That shit had me rolling. Oh, wait. Hold up. So he can call you, right? He can call... Wait, I wrote
Smelly
this down. So he can call you Smelly It, but I'm not allowed to call you vagina face?
And she's like, it's different, Todd.
Yeah.
I love the Todd so much. He holds a special place in my heart.
He really gets a lot of laughs. I got to tell you, that guy.
It's always funny. The high fives are always funny.
Yeah.
Another thing I was thinking about, and this is just food for thought for all of the fans out there. It would have been interesting to see, you know, we talk about JD's journey, and this is how JD, you know, and at the end he finds Elliot, and they go off together and live happily ever after. Another version of this show is her side of the story, you know, and I know we tried to do it with the spinoff and everything, and Carrie Bichet's character on the show and trying to show somebody who was a lot like JD, but Elliot in so many ways, you know, that inner monologue would be crazy to listen to. And so within watching this show, I'm really looking for, because of this show, I'm really looking forward to when it's her story.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to get that coming up.
It's coming up, people.
All right. I think we did it, guys. That's Gabby.
Oh, wait. One last thing.
Yeah.
The naked rule. Did that skip over you guys? Did you guys not catch the naked rule?
What was the naked rule?
So Carla says something that said something to Turk. And it was like I'm going to help you. I need you to help me move some stuff. But she was naked when she said it. And he was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. No problem. And he's like, so from here on out, the naked rule's in effect. You can't ask me to do anything when you're naked. And she's like, all right, fine. He goes, got to love the naked rule.
I'm going to use it retroactively.
Yeah.
And right, I'm going to use it so I can use it retroactively, right? Yeah.
Oh,
do you remember Gabby? When you said, Donald, you said this woman was the young Carla Espinoza? When you called a nurse, you said she was, you were saying, you said about Carla, like she's the young Carla Espinoza about some other woman.
Yeah.
Like we were trying to explain, like, but you had the hots for her, you thought she was attractive or something, like she's the young you.
Right.
Like, that's a true story based on Rob, my husband, telling me that this girl that he thought was attractive was the young Gabby Allen. thought that sounded like a compliment. And he's like, but she's the young Gabby Allen.
That was ripped
from the headlines of my life.
Oh, man. Does your husband play golf?
No.
He does not.
He doesn't. Should he?
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You should really get him into it right now.
Okay.
You'll never see him again.
Gabby, yes. Next time you have to watch the episode.
Oh, yes. Obviously. It was
fun to have you because you're a lovely
person.
Well,
we always record on Friday too.
Yes.
Well, if you guys give me another chance.
We will.
You have all the chances in the world.
Everything and I will do.
Well, we can let the fans vote.
No.
I'll take notes and I'll be so prepared. I'm such a good student. I will be prepared.
All right.
This was really fun. Thank you guys so much.
It's great to see you guys.
It's so good to see you.
And hey, fans, thanks for tuning in to the program. And we appreciate you for listening. And we love to hear that you're liking it, especially like our guest who said it's perfect timing for his commute.
Before we close out, I just want to put it out there, man. Our frontline workers are back in the hospitals once again, all throughout the world. Yeah. Throughout the world, we're seeing spikes in COVID. And our doctors and our nurses and everyone who works in medicine and our frontline workers who work on the streets and in stores to support all of our, you know, glorious habits and stuff like that. We need to really shout them out and give them a lot of love because we're going right back into this dangerous territory and they're on the front lines facing it head on. So shout out to all of the frontline workers, no matter what it is you do, if you are an essential worker, if you are in somebody's face and you have to worry about them coughing or breathing on you, shout out to you. God bless you.
God bless you. And please be safe, everybody. And we love you. Thank you to Daniel. Thank you to Joelle. Thank you to Gabby Allen Greenberg.
And
now we sing this song. Donald, do it.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.